Okay, it's 11 o'clock. This is the class of Master Life. It's time to start the class. Okay. It's very good to see you all. We'll have a prayer. Yeah. Father, we give you thanks and give you praise. Thank you for calling all of us to be in this discipleship class. We pray that the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit, will be with us, fill us, help us to understand your truth, and help us to bear fruit and be a disciple of Christ. We offer our prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, this is Master Life Discipleship class. Once again, let me remind you, the purpose you are here is you want to learn how to be a disciple of Christ. The class itself is just a tool that helps us to be a disciple. When through this class, we learn and we establish some habits, some spiritual habits or spiritual disciplines that will help us to live a Christ-centered life. So always keep in mind the purpose you are here is you want to honor Christ, you want to forsake yourself, you want to live a Christ-centered life. Always keep that focused, then this class will be beneficial to you. Otherwise, it's just another class you went through in church. So I do and hope and pray this will be very fruitful class for you. Let's do some review. We are talking about disciples' personality, and we have six topics. We are now on number five. The first topic is do God's will. The second week, renew your mind. The third week, master your emotions. These are the three parts that are composed of your soul, your will, your mind, and your emotion all together. That makes your soul, your inner part. And then on week four, we talk about how to present your whole body, your whole being, your physical body, your soul, and your spirit. Present your whole being to God. Then last week, week five, we talk about a very important topic, be filled with the Spirit. How to invite Holy Spirit into your life and fill up with His presence. Then the coming week, we're going to talk about live victoriously. Okay, let me move my podium a little bit. Okay. Now, last week, we memorized this verse. Ephesians 5:18, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. You remember that one? Okay, commit that into your memory. Let me ask you one question. According to this verse, which one's worse? Get drunk or not being filled with the Spirit? Understand my question? Which do you consider worse? I heard many people say not being filled with Spirit is worse. How many of you agree with that? Okay. How many think get drunk is worse? Bradley over there. Okay, this is a command from God. When Paul talked about this, he's talking about a controlled life, how your life should be presented into God's hand and let Him control you. He used getting drunk as an example. Sometimes we get controlled by other forces. But the main point is for you to be filled with the Spirit. Okay. Actually, not being filled with the Spirit maybe is a worst case. Because God do want us to be filled with His Holy Spirit so we can live a meaningful and useful life. Is not being filled with the Spirit an option for Christians? That means you can choose, I want to be filled with the Spirit. No, I don't feel I like to do that. Is that an option for you? No, many people shake their heads. You don't think it's an option?
an option, but it's a bad decision if you say no. We always have options, right?
Yeah, if we choose to be a disobedient. The way Bible puts it is a command from God, which means it's not an option for you. Okay. It's a command from God. It means if you are obedient child of God, you must obey. God didn't put it before you an option that you can choose between being filled or not being filled, but He commanded us to be filled with the Spirit. So now you understand this is a command, not an option. Okay. And the apostles were accused of being drunk on the day of Pentecost. Why?
Okay.
They speak in tongue. Well, yeah, they speak in tongue. That's true.
People didn't understand. Maybe they were speaking Chinese. They didn't understand.
If I speak in tongue today, will you think I'm drunk?
Yes.
Thank you, Jenny.
So every time you speak in Chinese,
because we don't do that. Right?
Yeah.
Baptist does not speak in tongues. That's not part of our
name. We Baptists speak in tongues too. If you don't you don't behave the normal you, it's a very not normal. You don't do this usually, then people think you are drunk. That's what happened on the Pentecost. They speak in tongues. And also the way they behave, people see them as they're being controlled. Yeah. It's not their usual self. If you are filled with the Spirit, you are not behaving the usual you. You will be different. You will be with power and with insight, with something good. Okay, be filled with the Spirit. This is what we learned last week. 5 days, the topics are here. As a result of last week's study, you should be able to. So ask yourself the following. Are you able to explain the relationship between God's Spirit and the human spirit? Yes? Yes, right? Okay. List 4 important facts about being filled with the Spirit. Remember? It's time to check your book. Anyone remember? Try what? Okay. Okay, Gopeng, go ahead. Good, you got 2.
Continuous motion. It is a commandment from God. What's the first one?
That's it. 4 facts. Thank you, Gopo. And identify 2 purposes of being filled and explain the way God accomplishes each purpose. Why God fills you with His Spirit? There are 2 purposes. Yes, that's the first one. What's the second? Okay, very good. And how He, the way He accomplishes each purpose, how He do it. Thank you, Lucy. That's very good. Through the fruit of the Spirit, He accomplished the purpose of developing you Christ-like characters. And through the gift of the Spirit, He accomplished the purpose of equipping you for His ministry. I hope you do remember what you learned. Okay? These are important stuff. List 3 steps. Okay, this is the most important one. List 3 steps to being filled with the Holy Spirit. Step 1 is what? Confess. All right. Step 2. What's step three? Well, it's very apparent. Last week we didn't ask to be filled with the Spirit last week. You don't even know the steps. Okay, you need to remember how to do it. Okay, it's very important. Okay. Last week's lesson is important to you, to God's kingdom, to the church. Okay, let me review something for you. A changed life. Something was missing. Much effort, no fruit. The author gave us his own example. How he tried so hard to do evangelism but bears no fruit. And he gave the reason that he's not being filled, because he's not being filled with the Spirit. And how he changed that. How he repented his sins, offer his body to God, and ask to be filled with the Spirit, and how ever since that, things are totally different. He bear a lot of fruit. Okay. That happens to, I think, most of us. We struggle a lot. We try to do God's ministry on our own effort. Okay. Everyone who has accepted Christ has the Holy Spirit living in him or her. You do understand this one, right? You have Holy Spirit inside of you. You're sure, right? Okay, you're very sure. But are you being filled with the Spirit? You have the Spirit inside of you. Maybe it's a cup. You have like 20% full. Being filled means 100% full, overflow. And the topic was being filled with the Spirit. That's what we talked about last week. All right, but not everyone is filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay. That's what we need to do. God wants you to be filled and overflowing with the Spirit. I do hope all of you will do this. Ask God to fill you with his Holy Spirit so you'll be useful in his hand. Let's do some more review. Your Spirit and God's Spirit. When you are born of the Spirit, your spirit is made alive and you are able to respond spiritually. The Holy Spirit helps you understand spiritual things. Without the help of Holy Spirit, we're like the natural person who just cannot comprehend the spiritual things. And with the help of Holy Spirit, you allow God to work through you. That's how we can do God's ministry. The Holy Spirit and your spirit is different. God is holy and we are human. Our spirit is kind of like a channel, like a vessel. God's spirit enters your personalities through your human spirit. We allow God enter us through our human spirit so his spirit can work through us. But you are responsible for one thing. You are responsible for letting God's spirit to come in. Sometimes we quote Revelation 3:20. Jesus is knocking at the door, asking to be let in. If you open the door from inside to let Christ in, then God's Spirit fills you and uses you to do his work. Okay, so you do have one responsibility. That responsibility is to let God in. Invite the Holy Spirit. Invite Christ to come in to fill you up. Fill without limit. The book gave us an example, Christ's own example, how he, when he lives on this world, how he was filled with the Spirit without limit. It states the fact not all Christians allow God to control their lives. And you must first open the door inside, from inside, before the Spirit of God can fill you, your personality. The Spirit will not fill you completely until you acknowledge. Okay, this one is important. Until you acknowledge Christ's Lordship and submit to his authority. Remember step two is to present your body. Acknowledge Christ's Lordship and present your body to him. Well, actually, this is the whole purpose of the discipleship, is to live life that's Christ-centered, that you acknowledge His Lordship. It gives us some steps to do. I would confess and forsake sin in my life, spend more time in Bible study and prayer. That's part of the action you take to present your body. I will ask the Spirit to fill me. And turn to God first when a crisis occurs. Don't use your way, but turn to God. Depend on Him. Seek Christ-honoring solutions rather than my own solutions. Okay. How to be filled? Four important facts as about be filled with the Spirit. Okay, we just talk about it. The sentence itself is a passive voice, which means you cannot do it on your own. You have to receive it. You are on the receiving end of this action. Only God can fill you. Number two is the present tense. You are to be filled now, not later. Okay. You don't say, maybe I'll do it next year. But it is now. It's the action you have to take right now. And the Greek present tense is a continuous action. That means to keep on being filled. It will not stay being filled. You have to ask and do this continuously. Finally, it's an imperative mood. It's not an option, it's a command. It's not an option for you, so you have to do it, have to obey. Okay. This is about how to be filled. We are going through some very important things for Christians. I do hope you pay attention to this, especially if you are a person who do ministry in God's kingdom. This is very important. So you will not do it on your own strength. You will do it in God's strength and ask His Spirit to fill you and to help you. Three steps to be filled by the Spirit. First one, confess your sin, disobedience, and your need for God's cleansing. God, I confess my sin before you. You name it. Please cleanse me. We go to God humbly and ask Him to do this. And present every member of your body to God. Offer them to be made righteous instruments in God's hand. Out of your own will, you present each member, your mouth, your ear, your hands, and your feet to God for His use. Last one, you have to do this. You have to pray and ask God to feel, control, and empower you. Those are real steps that you can take, and it will happen.
So,
yes.
I struggle with the word control. Like, so I saw throughout the lessons, it's kind of saying control you.
Yeah.
And I thought it was like, when you're filled, it's like you just desire to obey.
Yeah.
Is it different, the desire to obey versus control? Mm-hmm. When I thought of control, I just thought it was so like kind of commanding. I mean, I guess it is a command. I struggle with that word, control.
Well, control actually is the right word. Yeah, it starts with the intention to obey. I have the desire to obey God and ask Him to take over the control of my own life. So, when you submit your own will under God's will, that's the time He controls you. He's taking over the control. Yes. So,
and I think you desire after that, it's just a back and forth, but for you to be able to desire, you have to submit to Him, mm-hmm. more authority as well, so there's that tension.
All right, thank you, Paul. God's purpose in filling you, first one is to develop Christ-like character in you. Okay, we understand that. The number two is to empower you to do His work, which also means to equip you to do His ministry. Okay, so that brings us to day five, accomplishing God's purpose. God's first purpose in filling you with His Spirit is to develop Christ-like character in you. The purpose is accomplished through the fruit of the Spirit. Okay, we got that. Number two, God's second purpose in filling you with His Spirit is to equip you to do His ministry. Yeah, we need God's Spirit, need His help in order for us to be able to do His ministry. And this purpose is accomplished through the gift of the Spirit. And now let me ask you one question. Which one is more important, the first one or the second one? The first one is what? Thank you, Jen. She said the first one. Anyone disagree?
Both are equal and important. And developing Christ-like character and the same.
Not exactly the same.
The same?
Both exactly the same, but largely more like.
Okay.
Well, I thought we said the Christ-like character by the book is saying that it's the fruits of the Spirit, right? And then the equipping will be the gifts of the Spirit, I think. Mm. I'm trying to think of all the gifts versus the fruit. I don't know. I think love might be involved. Is there a gift of love? I thought they were all different, actually. The fruits are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. What are the gifts? Teaching, prophecy, tongues.
Okay.
I don't know all the gifts.
Yeah. Okay.
Brotherly kindness. Kindness, that's one that's kind of the same.
Let me do some review for you. These are two different purposes. They are different. The first one is for you to be like Christ. The Spirit develop inside of you Christ-like characters. And that's accomplished through the fruit of the Spirit. So you will have love, joy, peace, endurance, etc. But the second one is for you to do something, to do God's work, to do ministry. The first one is for you to be something, to be like Christ. And if you read a book carefully, the first one is more important. God's first purpose is to develop inside of you Christ-like character. We saw in real life many examples of people who has a lot of talents, a lot of gifts, spiritual gifts, but they failed because inside them lacked Christ-like character, like many TV evangelists, etc. They are very strong on the second one. They are very gifted. They can do a lot of things. They have the spiritual gifts. So I hope after starting last week's lesson, you do understand what's being taught, and you remember that well. All right. Let's go back to the basic diagram. You are required to do this, the whole thing, in 2 weeks. You will present three parts. First, the natural person. Second one, the worldly Christian. And the third one, the spiritual Christian. Okay? You are required to do the whole picture, whole diagram, and all the Bible verses that's included in the presentation. Okay. So let's do some review here. It is God who made you. Okay? The circle represents you as a unit. You have three parts, the body, the soul, and the spirit. The body gives you five senses, sight, sound, smell, taste, touch, which enables you to communicate with the outside world. And inside of you, there's a soul. There are also three parts, your mind, your will, and your emotions. And remember, the will is at central position. Okay? It makes decisions. Okay? And then Satan works through your body, through the world, to tempt you to stay away from God. And inside of you, there's a channel towards God and there's a channel towards Satan. The part that's connect to God is your spirit. Because God made you with spirit inside of you, so you are equipped, you are able to get in touch with God. But unfortunately, you also have another part inside you, it's the flesh, And we learn this word, it means sinful nature. Inside of each of us, no exception, we have this sinful nature. We communicate with the world, with Satan, with our sinful nature. And Satan works through the flesh in us. Because of the sinful nature, the natural person's spirit is dead and his door to God is closed. And this is what the Bible says, the natural person, 自然人, any unregenerated person, unbelievers, their spirit inside them is dead and their door to God is closed. They cannot comprehend the spiritual things. This is the first case. But the second case is a person who opened his heart to Christ and his spirit is regenerated and the door to God is reopened. So once again, he has two openings inside of him, one towards God, one towards Satan. And this is what the Bible says, a worldly Christian. This person, he or she is a Christian. He opens to God, but he also opens to Satan, to the world. So both authority has influence inside of him, and this is the worldly Christian. And then there's a third case, when a person, a Christian, make a willful decision before God, said, God, I would crucify my flesh with you, with Christ on the cross. His flesh is crucified, and the door to Satan is willfully closed. In this case, in this situation, this person is no longer called a worldly Christian, but instead a spiritual Christian. That's the case that a person has only one opening, and that's the opening to God. He's a spiritual life. So you need to remember all the presentation and all the Bible verses and how the big I inside of that person changed to a cross. Okay, all the steps you need to remember, and all the memory verses you need to remember. Okay, you're going to present this to me in 2 weeks. Okay, let me just do a little preview. So I think most of you will be able to complete the whole course in November. Okay, this is a major work in our church. Next year, and from next year, when our church select leaders, council members, and eventually deacons, etc., it will be according to his discipleship. And next year, we need some teachers, master life teachers, to teach the same class. I will not be teaching it. We need some new teachers. We will take score of what's happening right now, this class. Each one of you will get a final score. 25% will be from your attendance. Okay. And 25%, I will give you a Bible test. I'll give you 100 Bible verses. You have to be able to identify them, where they come from. And the other 50% is from the material, the master life part of it. You have to present to me the disciples' cross and the disciples' personality and your testimony and your evangelism effort, etc. That will account for 50%. We will be requiring our future council members to be able at least to score 80% in discipleship class in order to serve as a council member, and also for the person who will be teaching Master Life next year will be required at least to score 80% of the total score. So your attendance, that means how sincere, how's your attitude towards this discipleship class, and your Bible knowledge. Without it, you are not qualified to serve. Okay. and your comprehension, your understanding of the whole material of Master Life. So I do hope yourself will be benefited from the whole process. And it's a very good book, very good training material. I do hope you commit it to your memory, the things you learned. Okay, salvation testimony, this is you've been working on this for several weeks already, and today you're going to share your three-minute testimony with your group members. All right. You have to cover all the points, okay, all the main points, okay. You should be able to put it in one page, double space, one page. Okay? If it's handwritten, maybe two pages, okay, so only 3 minutes. Okay, for next week's assignment, this will be the last week of book two. You'll go to page 114, My Walk with the Master this week. We are still in the process of a continued quiet time for 21 days. If you have done that already, congratulations. If it's not been done yet, please continue to do it until you have 21 days nonstop. And the next week's part of the assignment is for you to pray for two lost persons. Yeah. Someone in the future, you may use your testimony with them, your co-workers or your neighbors. And remember, August 14 is the day for testimony workshop. Okay. Small group time, as usual, to check each other's walk with Master this week, and quote memory verses, okay? And practice explaining the disciple's personality. Okay, right now you should be able to explain the whole thing. And sharing your experience of taking notes on the sermon this week, okay? You've been asked to take notes on sermon, okay? And This week's discussion, small group time, requires you to share that experience with your group members. Testimony, share your 3 minutes salvation testimony to each other, critique and evaluate. Finally, practice a conversational prayer with your group members. All right, time to break into groups.